Dear friends in Christ Jesus, once again I extend you all a very warm welcome to you to this Eucharistic celebration, first Sunday of Lent. In the Gospel today, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. He remained in the desert for 40 days. There he was tempted by the devil. Today we are going to reflect upon the temptation. There was an overweight businessman that decided it was time to lose some weight. He took his new diet very seriously, even changing the route he took to work every day in order to avoid going past the bakery that tempted him every day. One morning, however, he arrived at work carrying a big, gigantic coffee cake. "This is a very special coffee cake," he explained. "I accidentally drove by the bakery this morning, and there in the window were a whole host of goodies. I felt that it was no accident that I accidentally had gone by the bakery. So I prayed, 'Lord, if you want me to have one of those delicious coffee cakes, let me find a parking place directly in front of the bakery.' And sure enough," he continued, "the eighth time I drove around that block, there it was." Dear friends in Christ Jesus, do you struggle with temptation? If temptation comes to every person, which it does, then it's inevitable that it will come to us. If you are not being tempted right now, just hold on, because it's coming. Temptation is not something that you get past. It has come around before, and it will come around again. It is inevitable. We need to understand that temptation is personal. We all have our personal temptations. We are all vulnerable in different ways. Temptation is a personal thing. Some things that do not tempt you tempt me, and some things that do not tempt me may tempt you. You can be sure that your temptations will be tailored, made for your weakness. I heard of someone who said, "I do not struggle with temptation. I just give into it." Surely that's not the answer. But the fact is that there is not a day that goes by that we are not tempted in some way. Temptation comes in many forms. We are tempted not to tell the truth, to take something that does not belong to us, to take advantage of someone, to gossip, to overeat, to hold a grudge, to withhold from the Lord the blessings that God has given us to share with others. The magazine called Discipleship Journal asked its readers to rank the area's greatest spiritual challenge to them. The results came back in this order. The top challenges the discipleship face: number one, materialism, pride, self-centeredness, laziness, anger, bitterness, and sexual lust. The respondents also noted that the temptations were more potent when they have neglected their time with God, the 80% they say, and when they are physically tired, and they are tempted in all this way, the 50% they said. Pope Gregory, he said, how Jesus was tempted in the desert and based on the three temptations. And Jesus was tempted in three ways: pleasure, pride, power. In the same way, Adam and Eve, and before the fall, they were tempted: pleasure, pride, and power. And in the same way, we are also tempted in the same way: pleasure, pride, power. And my dear friends, we need to understand that temptation is universal. Everyone is tempted. If you meet someone who is never tempted by anything, there is one conclusion that you can draw about that person: he or she is dead. Only dead people are not tempted. The moment we enter into this world, we are drafted into a lifelong battle with temptation. We need to understand at the outset that as a Christian soldiers, there is no sin in being tempted. No one can eradicate these enticements, but we are responsible for our reactions to them. And there was one man, he worked for his cruel boss. His mean, cruel boss was not a Christian, and this man was. And he loved Jesus fervently, and he was always telling his boss that the devil was dogging his footsteps, that he was having difficulty with temptation. And one day, they were talking about it while they were out duck hunting. And the boss said to him, Sam, you are a strange preacher. You claim to be a Christian, and yet you are always talking about wrestling with temptation. The devil is always being after you, he said. I am not even a Christian. I make no pretense of being a Christian. The devil never bothers me. How do you explain that? He said, well, boss, suppose we shoot two ducks. One of them falls dead and the other is still flopping in the water. Which one are we going to go after first? Well, he said, the one that is still flopping. He said, that's right, boss. The devil knows you are a dead duck. And that's true. The devil does not have to worry about some of us. Some of you, he's already dead. You are dead. And at least if the devil is after you, it's a sign of life. And it's a sign of you are following Christ and the temptation is on your way and you are tempted. And number two, as we understand, the temptation is universal. And number two, God cannot tempt you. And in the letter to St. James, chapter 1, verse 13, he says, let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither he tempts any man with evil. And my dear friends, we all pray the Our Father prayer, and lead us not into temptation. Do you remember in the garden, Adam said, and the woman you gave me, she gave me to eat and I did sin. Now really, God, it was not my fault, Adam saying, it was either her fault or your fault, the woman you gave me. That sounded pretty good. It really is not my fault. I am not really guilty, God. You did it to me. You placed me in this situation, and that's why I committed sin. The woman you gave me. Someone said that God blamed Adam, and Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent, and the serpent did not have a leg to stand on. Let me tell you something, my friend. Adam was the one who did not have a leg to stand on. Adam wanted to blame God. He just wanted to make it look like, well, it is just circumstances. It is just my environment. James, in his epistles, he is very clear. He is going to pull the rug out from underneath you if you are trying to blame God. Man is still saying to God, God, the woman you gave me, the background you gave me, the parents you gave me, the body you gave me, the environment you gave me. And my dear friends, God won't buy it. God is not buying it. And there is one thing God will never accept for sin, and that is an alibi. God tempts no man with evil, neither can he be tempted with evil. You ask a man, why do you drink? And he says, why do I drink? Man, I drink because my wife nags me all the time. It is the only escape. Nag, nag, nag. That's why I drink. Say to her, why do you nag to him all the time? Nag him? Why wouldn't I? Drink, drink, drink. That's why, that's all he ever does, drink. Everybody can give you reason for why they do everything rather than say, it is me, it is me, it is me, O God, standing in the need of prayer. And my dear friends, there is a definite possibility that you are going to be tempted, and there is a divine impossibility that God can be tempted, God can be tempted with evil, or that God will tempt you with evil. You cannot be tempted, and God cannot be tempted with evil. And my dear friends, and going back to the two meaning, there are two meaning of temptations. The commentators say that the book of James, he uses two sense when he uses the word temptations. Some temptations are tests. They are trials. They are not inducements to do evil, but simply the test and the trials and the hardships of life that come to us. These are sent by God in order to make a stand. But there are temptations. They are inducements to do evil, solicitation to sin, which is sent by Satan to make us stumble, not to make us stand. They are not sent to strengthen us, but to weaken us and to destroy us. St. Augustine, the church father, the doctor of the church, on his commentary, he talks about Christ's temptation and in connection with our temptation. Our pilgrimage on earth, and he says, our pilgrimage on earth cannot be exempt from trial. We progress by means of trial. No one knows himself except through trial, or receives a crown except after victory, or strives except against an enemy or temptation. The one who cries from the ends of the earth is in anguish, but is not left on his own. Christ chose to foreshadow us. We are his body. By means of his body, in which he has died, risen and ascended into heaven, so that the members of his body may hope to follow where their head has gone before. He made us one with him when he chose to be tempted by Satan. We have heard in the gospel how the Lord Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Certainly, Christ was tempted by the devil. In Christ, you were tempted, for Christ received his flesh from your nature, but he, by his own power, gained life for you. He suffered insults in your nature, but by his power, he gained glory for you. Therefore, he suffered temptation in your nature, but by his own power, gained victory for you. If in Christ we have been tempted, in him we overcame the devil. Do you think only of Christ's temptation and fail to think of his victory? See yourself as tempted in him. See yourself as victorious in him. He could have kept the devil from himself. But if he were not tempted, he could not teach you how to triumph over temptation. There is no doubt that temptation will come to all of us. So we need to prepare for those moments. And we need to be ready. We need to expect temptation. We should never be surprised. When you face sensual sin, run. When you face the sin of gossip, hold your tongue. When you face the sin of laziness, work. When you are filled with the sin of bitterness, forgive.